Grace. You're listening to another episode of Beckett's Babies, a playwriting podcast. Every week, we discuss plays we love, interview theater artists, and share our thoughts on playwriting and theater. We're your hosts, Sam Collier.
And Sarah Cho. And today's topic episode is we're going to workshop each other's short pieces. So these are scenes that we feel stuck on. And you know, the hope is by the end of this episode, we'll unstuck ourselves.
Yeah. Great idea, Sarah.
So I'll start. So this piece, it's called Friendship Coma. It was originally a one-act play. And I have been wanting to make this into a full length for a really long time. I just wasn't sure until I got a deadline, because that's how it usually works, right?
You get a deadline. Power
of deadlines. And so, yeah, so I made a full length, wrote this in a full length play. The moment of this piece that I'm kind of stuck on is the opening scene. It's the waiter's monologue. Mm-hmm. And should I read it or should you read it? How should we do this?
I think we can read each other's. Although mine has two characters.
Oh, yeah, we'll both read that one for sure.
But yeah, I'll read it. Okay.
you're the waiter.
Can I do some vocal warm ups?
Oh, geez. We took a little short Meisner before
starting. No, thank you. Okay. Spotlight on a waiter. Hello. I'm Laurel, and I will be your waiter this evening. Is there anything I can help you get started with? Water? Tap or bottled? Flat or sparkling? Tonight's special is vegan lasagna. We simmer the sauce for 8 hours with our special blend of herbs and spices. We throw in some fake engineered meat and voila, vegan lasagna. Hold for claps. I'm sorry, can we pause for a minute? Do you even care what the special is? I took the time to not only taste but memorize every single detail of today's special, but all you do is look down at your menu and pretend to listen. You sure know how to make me feel so special when I'm talking about specials, don't you? Oh gosh, I'm overreacting again. Sorry, the last customer tipped me 8%, and I think I just lost my mind. I know. Tipping seems to be such an issue these days. When do you tip? Is it 10, 15, or 20%? Sometimes 25%, right? But let me tell you something. Something so real and honest that it will blow your mind. You see, no matter how much you tip, even if you think you're going above and beyond the normal rate, it will never, I repeat, never be enough. It will never be enough if I have to put up with you and your nonsense. I can barely afford rent and health insurance, and all you're concerned about is if your water is too warm or too cold. Gosh darn it. I'm sorry. I lost my parakeet yesterday. It just flew out of its cage and out the window. Sorry to just unload on you. Haha. Okay, where was I? Oh, the specials. Today's specials are...
All right. That was it. Oh my God, I can lose up laughing.
Cool. Okay, so this is the opening of your play.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like the thing I'm stuck on is just... So this is the opening of my play. And it's this waiter that's sort of like ranting and just kind of going off tangent here and there. And I think it's just like the train of thought. I just like – it just feels like there are moments where I feel like the waiter's talking to someone. Mm-hmm. But then they're also like not. And then mm-hmm. So who is the audience in this, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure that out. This imaginary customer, or is it really the audience in the room? So I feel like it kind of goes back and forth. Mm-hmm.
Because we should say the next scene mm-hmm. is like somewhere different with different people.
Yeah, right.
Do we see the waiter talking to characters? We do later, I guess.
Yeah, later.
But this monologue is just kind of a standalone.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, visually, like, I don't know. I don't find spotlight on actor opening monologue in the beginning as fun for me, you know, exciting.
Yeah.
It's not very – but I think it's – this character, the waiter, does play a very important role throughout the story, just sort of, like, poking fun at the other characters and, like, trying to, like, heighten and make things more uncomfortable. And so this waiter is just – is a very has a specific role. So I just wanted to have to give this waiter a moment of like a point of view. And so that's what this monologue is too, is just kind of not make this – like you can obviously tell this waiter is a device that's moving through the world as like to be the instigator. But I also want – I was like, well, this is the only chance I feel like I could give a voice for this character. So –
You know, it's making me think a little bit of, do you know Sarah Rules play Melancholy Play? And you know how she has like, you meet a couple of characters through these monologues, but then the information that they reveal in those first monologues becomes like really important to their character later. And, I'm kind of vague on details because it was a while ago that I saw it, but it might be worth looking at how she structures that, how she structures those opening monologues and then like returns to those characters later.
I should return. Yeah. I should check that out again.
I really like the specificity of the lost parakeet and it makes me, that's the kind of detail that makes me really curious about who this person is. Like, do they live alone except for the parakeet who's now lost, and like how old are they, or is it, do you see it as a man or a woman or either?
I think either think I've had this had this read a couple times, and it was once a woman and once a man, and I feel like it didn't really matter the gender as much. Between the two.
I mean, it's I also when did you write this first draft?
The first draft so I mentioned it was originally a one act, and so this, I think that was written 2017.
Okay.
2017, and then all the additions were all this year. So this is a monologue this year.
It feels very 2023 because I just keep reading all these articles about tipping. Like, nobody knows what to do with tipping. People, it, especially coming out of the COVID, the first year of COVID.
Right.
It just, it feels like everything changed with tipping, and that feels really
current.
Timely. Yeah, current. Yeah.
So do you feel like the tipping could also date it because it could change like later?
No, because I actually think there's a way in which like 10 years ago people were also kind of talking about tipping, but it's really on people's minds right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way of knowing, I guess, what the future holds, but I think it, it's going to continue to be a confusing issue.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as people are not being paid their fair wage, tipping will always be an issue. Because that's kind of
the vegan lasagna too. I was just reading this article about how all these restaurants now and like packaged food companies are moving to saying plant-based instead of vegan, because it's more appealing to people who are, who don't identify as vegan. Like, the, just the word vegan can be a turnoff, but. But the idea of putting in like fake meat, alternative meat, that feels really of the moment. Soon it's going to be lab grown meat.
Yeah. I, well, isn't Impossible and Beyond lab grown? Oh, you mean
taking animal cells,
right?
Like stem cells,
yeah,
and growing actual meat, but without a physical animal.
I think they started that, or they think they've done that with salmon.
Oh God!
And it's, they're being sold. Like, I remember, I think in San Francisco, I think their restaurants are selling these like cell grown salmon.
I do not like it.
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, I think they argue that it's all the same nutrition, and I'm like,
yeah, but I don't know. Don't know. That's another conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole other kind of,
well, but I guess, so I guess my question is, like, how does this character feel about, like, is this character vegan? How does this character feel about the vegan lasagna? Or the fake meat? Or really anything that is being served? Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the tone? Like, what do you think is
I think, up? like, how would I describe it? Oh, this person just seems so desperate for a connection. And, like, lonely. I think, depending on how you play it, it could be super funny and lighthearted. And it could also be kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like a lot of your writing, Sarah.
Oh, thanks. Such a downer. It's so interesting you say that, like, desperate and lonely, because this whole – the premise of this whole entire play is about or inspired by FOMO, like fear of missing out. And that's what the main thing with the four friends in this whole play, the main characters, their whole dynamic is one is feeling – always feeling left out, like FOMO. But – well, here's a spoiler alert. That friend was in a coma for many years. So they literally left out.
Is it a spoiler? It's called Friendship Coma.
Yeah, right. Well, no. Yeah, you're right. It's in the title. But, you know, there's some mystery. There's some mystery. What does that mean?
Okay. All right. Good point.
But, yeah. but, yeah. So I guess that is the idea that I'm trying to explore. And then all the different characters.
And this waiter is not one of those friends.
No.
Or, like, not one of the main characters.
No.
But how do they kind of come up in the story?
The four friends enter this restaurant. It's like a vegan restaurant. And the waiter serves them. And I was using the waiter as a there are these moments when the characters are kind of, like, starting to – there's some, like, awkwardness or, like, things are being elevated. The waiter comes in to elevate that, those moments.
I see.
Or that's how I try to use the waiter. Yeah. So that's – yeah. So it was really, like, a device for sure.
And so is it all – is the whole play over the course of one meal?
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's just one continuous play.
Oh, cool.
There's no breaks or anything.
Yeah, so I guess I would wonder if it's helpful. I would think about what is the waiter's, even though the waiter is just there to kind of help move the story forward, what is this character's journey over the course of that evening? Like, I'm obviously really invested in The Last Parakeet. and because it just happened yesterday, you know, that feels very like maybe somebody might call at any minute.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Be like, oh, I saw your parakeet. Or maybe the waiter has, like, posted a lost parakeet thing on social media and is, like, checking to see if anything is coming in.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Actually, one year when I had a summer where I was, like, a camp counselor. So I was outside all day. And a cockatiel, do you know what a cockatiel is? It's like a little parrot. Like, it was clearly somebody's pet cockatiel, and it flew in one afternoon and just started landing on all the kids' heads.
I would scream.
And we were like, what do we do? This is clearly someone's pet.
Yeah.
I think we called, you know, animal control or something, but I don't know how you would catch a lost parakeet. But probably people would spot it.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe that's just something you put in and, like,
no, I think I like
interesting
that.
To you, but
that could be interesting. No, there's that could be a really fun moment where, like, a parakeet flies in and the waiter just, like, does not do their job, and they just, like, run for this parakeet, and then it's just like everyone's food is like, you know, just complete chaos. Or it could be like an ending. Because the ending feels a little bit not complete as well. It's like where, you know, the whole restaurant just empties out and then a parakeet flies in. And then something like that.
Yeah. And so then the other big question I have is like,
return.
Are they going to tip?
Are they going to tip?
This waiter a good tip?
Oh, good question.
Because you kind of set up this question that. Of like,
yeah,
you know, the last customer tipped 8%. Now here's a new group.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly trying to get them to give him a good tip. So is he successful?
Ooh. Freaking love that. Okay. I feel unstuck now.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah, yeah. Because this is definitely informing more for this character and how I want to incorporate these in the world. Like, so because this Monaco really sets up the world kind of, because it's, yeah. The waiter is the first person we see, right, before this play yeah. starts. And so, like, everything you just said, it's like, yeah, there's information in this monologue that I don't feel like it's answered or acknowledged throughout the play. And the fact that you pointed out these moments, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I can go back to that moment and, mm-hmm. you know, add this detail there that I had mentioned in the monologue or something. So, oh, yeah, this is great. Wow. Well,
you wrote it.
You wrote it. Oh, my God. See, like, Vanessa, it's like, getting into this in depth, like talking and
yeah,
with another person is super helpful.
I always find it interesting when I'm stuck to go back to like my first impulses when I first wrote the very early draft of a play or the first thing we hear from a character. Because yeah, a lot of times those little details
mm-hmm.
that you kind of just put in instinctively become yeah. really central to the story. In yeah. ways that they might be working at like the subconscious level in the first draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. I love this. I'm so excited.
Okay,
this
great.
I'm so excited to get to rewriting. To add this. Oh, I love when this happens. Okay. All right. I'm done. Your turn, okay. Sam.
Okay. So I was, when you suggested this idea of finding something to like an older piece that I got stuck on, I started thinking about in February of 2019, I did this project called the Literal Challenge,
mm-hmm.
In which you put in money at the beginning of the month. And I think it was like $28.
Yeah.
And every month they send you a prompt and you write a play in response to that prompt every day for a month. And then if you complete the challenge, like you email them a play every day for a month, then you get a pot. So there's a pot of money. Everyone puts in money. And people who don't complete it forfeit their money. And so the people who do complete it get all the money divided among the people who completed it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, you get a equally divided share of the money of everyone who succeeded along with the money of people who did not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a small financial incentive to write a play every day for it. I think I got like $28 yeah. back. But
it sounds like a bunch of writers who are addicted to gambling. Yeah, just got into it.
I mean, it's so interesting to remember doing this because it was, I can remember it so clearly. It was February. I was living in Michigan. I was working at a high school. We had a lot of snow days. And I just remember getting these prompts and like spending a lot of snowy mornings writing these plays. And it didn't feel, a lot of the time it did not feel fun. It felt like
yeah,
hard sure. and I was forcing myself to get something down. And I was writing things that I was like, this is bad, but I just have to turn something in. But now I have this folder of 28, like, beginnings of plays. And most of them are just, a scene or something, but I would still say end of play at the end. And some of the prompts were really really specific with a lot of rules, and then other ones were incredibly open. So anyway, I was looking through this folder and I found this one piece I called The Train, And then I went back through my email to try to find the prompt. And the prompt was pick a number between 1 and 60 and then click this link. And the link led you to a list of like anniversary gifts by year. Mm-hmm. So 1 is paper, 2 is cotton, 3 is leather. And it goes on. And I have no idea which number I picked. And I can't tell from looking at this play. But anyway, that was the prompt.
Mm. I want to take a guess it's the thermos, but that's just me.
Wait, is there a thermos on that list?
No. I don't know the list.
It's like things like gold, sapphire. Oh, I see. Books, food. Maybe it was food. Yeah, there's a thermos of tea.
Yeah. Because it was so specific. I was like,
Well, and that was the other thing because I had just like been to a tea farm or something. So I was thinking about tea. But yeah. Well, shall we read it?
Yes. Do you want to do the cast? How are you going to cast this? Who are you casting?
Okay. You be Stella.
Okay.
And I'll be Gabby, your sister. And then can you also be – oh, no, I guess Stella talks to the – okay, I'll be the old woman. Winnie,
okay. And then there's announcement.
Yeah, you be the announcement.
Okay. And then – wait, did you say I'm Stella?
Yeah, you're Stella and announcement. And I'll read the stage directions.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like 4 pages. Okay. Two sisters on a train. It's the middle of the night. It's the middle of America. Stella has the window seat. Gabby has the aisle seat.
Gabby, wake up.
What?
I think the train has stopped.
What?
I don't know.
Where are we?
Oh, I don't know.
Stella tries to see outside.
Well, I can't see anything. It's too dark.
What time is it? We can figure out from the time.
2:23 a.m.
Okay, check the schedule. Stella searches for the schedule.
Oh, I don't know where I put it.
You lost it?
I didn't lose it. I just haven't found it yet.
We'll be moving soon. I'm going back to sleep. Stella squints out the window again.
Where are we?
Probably Pennsylvania or something. One of the Vanias.
That's not even a thing. Pennsylvania is the only Vania.
Virginia.
That is not... That doesn't even... That's Inya.
I'm asleep.
Gabby, what if we've been hijacked?
Trains don't get hijacked.
Gabby.
Stella squints out the window.
Oh, the night air is so inscrutable. Opaque. It's not like daytime air.
Stop trying to be a poet. It's the middle of the night. An elderly woman sitting across the aisle from them starts humming. It's tuneless. It's random notes. Stella looks at her. Gabby pretends to be asleep.
Attention, passengers. We apologize for the delay. We are having some trouble with the engine. We will have more information shortly. Thank you. Oh, great.
She squints out the window again. She leans forward to see around Gabby to the woman across the aisle.
Do you know where we are?
One of the I states.
Oh. Where are you headed?
Not anywhere in particular.
We're going to California, clear across the country.
You're married? Girlfriends?
No. No, we're sisters.
Oh, how old-fashioned.
I guess so.
Traveling with your sister.
Yeah. Anyway, I was wondering if maybe the train has been hijacked?
It hasn't. Go back to sleep. This happens all the time.
Oh, I can't sleep. We could be anywhere. It's so dark. What time does the dining car open?
6 a.m.
Ugh.
I have some tea. Would you like some tea?
Oh,
Winnie takes a thermos from her bag. She uncaps it and pours into the lid, then offers it to Stella. Did you know the tea plant has a 28-day reproductive cycle, just like us?
Wow.
Here, careful, it's hot. Stella takes the cup of tea. It's steaming.
Thank you.
She sips. She considers. The steam curls up and away into the darkness of the train. They wait. Lights. Yeah.
End.
Oh, yeah, end. That's the train.
Ooh, something about it is so creepy. I don't know. Like, I feel like they're not really on a train. I'm just like, let's see. So what is it about that
I've spent so many.
Yeah.
What's feeling stuck? I just feel like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's something, like this could become something more, yeah. But I don't really know what to do with it. Because I wrote it for this prompt, and I felt a great sense of relief when I got to the end.
Yeah.
Because I could send it in and be done for the day. But I'm also like, I've spent so many hours of my life being on trains. Because before I had a car, I would take a lot of train rides. And there's just a really particular kind of feeling about being on a train in the middle of the night and like not being able to see out the window. And you just have to wait. I mean, you're completely at the mercy of Amtrak.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's this feeling of like tension. There's something is happening, or like she thinks something might be happening, but we don't know what that is. I guess it's like, is this a play about two sisters or is this a play about Stella? Because by the end, it feels like we leave Gabby and we're with Stella and Winnie, you know, and then it becomes, or maybe it's both. So that's something.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Let's see. Yeah, Winnie just feels so mysterious. And I think it's because we know the relationship. Stella and Gabby are sisters, are traveling. But Winnie, like, does she just stay on the train and keep going and never stop? Like, does she live on the train? like, there's something about Winnie that I was like.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Like, and she seems to appear when, you know, yeah, Stella. You know, she asks the question, do you know where we are? To the woman across the island, and when he answers, right? And so I feel like I mean, I was reading it anxious, but
yeah,
Stella is kind of wondering where they are. The train has stopped. It keeps saying it's being hijacked or it's hijacked. And Winnie kind of comforts Stella in a way. And then – and I feel like Winnie is like very like motherly type for some reason, person trying to comfort. So, yeah, I'm kind of wondering who Winnie is.
Okay, cool. Yeah, maybe I like this question about does she live on the train?
Does she live on the train? Because I just think about,
you know, where is she going?
I just feel like, I don't know, unless I've just been reading how people are finding their way living in places. You know what I mean? Like that you don't expect. Yeah, was that, where's the article? There was like in Stanford, there was like a homeless person living at the Stanford campus pretending to be a student, you know? There's that. I was also reading somewhere, there was this school of, not school, but like, it's like a really terrible situation, but there are these families that live in RVs and they're living on this guy's property, like, and he's like making them pay rent, so but then and then you know the whole neighborhood is affected because there are these five families like living on this lot, and you know they could smell the urine, and you know they're all like everything, you know, to clean, and they're all you know trying to survive, and so there's the whole neighborhood is trying to get the city to like boot them, you know, but they're all like they're people are finding ways to live in places that you don't expect, so
so yeah, that's and what all made the people think. Who live like in cars or
cars, yeah,
you know, buses or
yeah,
RVs who park at overnight in like Walmart parking lots because that's a place where you can park overnight.
Let's see, and then yeah, and I wondered if the you know will we get an answer about why the train stopped. Later, if it really is an engine, or is this train even real? I don't know. You tend to, every time I read your writing, I'm like, oh, they're so mysterious. I'm scared.
That's because I have no idea what's happening. I'm trying to figure it out too. Yeah.
Let's see what okay. else. I mean, do you think the prompt was setting, like the setting was on the train? Or do you think that something you
No, I think of? The prompt was literally just like
An object.
A gift.
Oh, I see.
And maybe it was food, and that's how I got to the thermos of tea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like the description. It's like middle of the night. It's the middle of America. Like, that could be anywhere. In America. You know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean. The other thing, too, about that's so interesting about long train rides is there are people who just take these long distance trains all the time. Yeah. Like people who are afraid of flying or don't like flying or just want to see the country in a different way.
Yeah.
I just remember meeting like older people on the trains who would talk about their favorite routes that they had done or it was very interesting. It's a really interesting collection of people that you meet on a long distance train.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a helpful question of is this a play about two sisters or is it a play about Stella?
Yeah.
Because it could go in two really different directions, I think.
Yeah. And what if Winnie just go back to sleep and never wakes up? Like, what?
Or, like, what if the tea is poisoned?
Yeah. Sorry, I meant to say Gabby. What if Gabby goes back to sleep and
never wakes up? Oh, if Gabby goes to sleep. Yeah.
Sorry. Gabby, the other sister. Yeah.
She just dies for no reason. Yeah.
I really like the train. I feel like something about the environment of the train. Because I do remember feeling like, because you're constantly looking out, I never felt claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like in the box with other people. There's something about that. And yeah.
Well, and you can get up and walk around, which makes it so much different from flying too. Mm-hmm. And just walking down through all the cars and seeing all the people. On your way to the dining car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've never done the sleeper car. Even though I've taken a lot of overnight trains, I've only ever done the like where you get a seat. And so that's kind of interesting too, just trying to sleep in a chair next to somebody overnight.
Yeah. Nick and I want to do the Pacific Coastline.
Do it.
LA to Seattle.
Yeah.
And we're hoping when Augie's maybe like a little older, we'll do it. That'd be squealing. Fun. Squealing. Ah! I'll take it. I know. Please don't squeal. All right. Cool. Well,
thanks, Sarah.
So take this, make this a full length, bring it back, and we'll read the whole thing on the show. Oh, yeah, we'll bring on actors. We'll do it. We'll do the whole thing. So
cool.
If you can get it done next week, that'll be great.
Right. I'll do what I can.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
Fun if listeners sent in their pieces like this and then like we talk about it, but they're like anonymous. Like,
oh, that would be so fun.
Like who this anonymous writer sent us this and then we talk about it.
And then it's secretly us.
This writer from Los Angeles recently had a baby. Oh my gosh.
We do have listeners, you guys. There are people who listen to the show. Yes. As evidenced by you listening right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was fun. This was very productive too.
I'd love to hear from you listeners out there. What do you do to get unstuck?
We're on Threads.
Or you started a piece and you don't know what to do with it. What? Oh, we are? Oh my god.
Yeah, we're on Threads.
I don't think
I haven't posted anything yet. You're like, oh geez, another social media. we're on Threads, so get at us.
Do you think it will be the end of Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But
what's your hot take? Come on, Sarah.
I really don't know because Elon Musk is crazy. Yeah. I don't know. Right now he's trying to sue Facebook, Meta, saying that that Facebook hired a bunch of people from Twitter and it's like intellectual property or whatever. And so Elon Musk is trying to sue Meta and Zuckerberg is like laughing like, no one here's from Twitter. So
yeah, I don't think he's going to win that case.
Yeah, I don't think so. And also it's not just Threads. It's like there were all these other type of Twitter types that came out in the last 2 years. So is he going to try to sue everyone, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't think so. But yeah. I don't know what we're going to do with Threads, but joined it. I'll figure it out. I don't know. We'll see. Again, it could be one of those things where just don't use it.
And what's the verb? Like you could say tweet at us, but what do you say for Threads?
I think it's...
Thread us?
Threaded us? You can thread us? At us? I don't know.
Or that's... string us?
Oh my gosh, I saw this post about the Threads, like the icon, the logo. Mm-hmm. And so many people's hot take is like, it looks like the devil sign or like the 666 or whatever.
Yeah, it looks evil.
It looks like cynical or whatever. So yeah. I thought it was funny. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Let us know. How do you get unstuck with your writing? What's your hot take? What's your hot tips? Send us through. Whatevs. All right, we'll do glistens now.
Okay. Should I go first?
Yeah, go first.
Okay, I saw, and I guess I should say we're recording this in July, but I just saw the last preview of King Lear at Colorado Shakespeare Festival here in Boulder, and Lear was played by Ellen McLaughlin, and she is incredible in this role. Oh my God. It was just such a good performance. I had never seen Lear performed by a woman. I mean, they keep the role. She's playing him as a man. Wow. So it's not like they changed the play. But I actually think the last time I saw a production of King Lear, the only other time I've seen a production was when I was like 13 years old in DC. They did this outdoor Shakespeare festival every summer called Free for All. The tickets were free. Mm-hmm. And I was like 13 or 14. I didn't totally follow the story. But the thing that I really remember is the blinding of Gloucester when they claw his eyes out. Oof. And it was kind of incredible to see the play again now, so many years later, and really be able to follow the language and all the characters' journeys. Because I've also never read King Lear. Mm. And I don't know, it really moved me. I found it a really, really powerful performance. And she really helped me understand the incredible writing in the play. So, Ellen McLaughlin. If any of you are in Boulder, you should go see it. King Lear. All right, Sarah, what about you?
Okay. My glisten is this dream I had last night. And I've never in my life, I don't think I've ever had a dream within a dream. And it was so weird. So I had a dream that Nick and I went to a coffee shop. And I was telling him a dream I had about helping a family. Mm-hmm. And a member of that family appears, comes out and talks to me, asking me that their business is struggling and they need help. So I was telling that person, like, I just had a dream last night about you. Whoa. And your family and I'm about your business. And then here are some ways that you could – and then I just came up with some ideas of, like, what you should do. Like, I was coming up with, like, have you considered this grant, this small business grant? Have you considered this? I was trying to help this member of this family of their business that's struggling. And then in my dream, I stop and go, this feels weird. Is this a dream? I said that. And then I woke up because then Augie started crying.
Whoa.
But it was this weird, like,
layers.
I was telling like this person of a dream I had about her and her family as I was talking to her. And then I wake up and that was a dream. Like, it was so.
So are you going to go tell this person?
No, because I don't really talk to them. So it was my former employers. So I'm not going to talk to them.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But clearly you have some unfinished business that your subconscious is thinking about.
If it's that or if it's because I've been talking to Nick a lot about like when I have something, an idea come up. Because I've been watching so much Shark Tank. So I'm like, oh, what if I did that into a business? What if I made that into a business? What if that made that into a business? You know, like, what if this became a service that I come up with? You know, I just come up with like a bunch of stuff. And so I kind of think that those thoughts or that kind of thinking has stuck with me into my dream.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's something I'm thinking deeply. Because I think, you know, I'm not working right now, but I'm like, as August getting older, I'm like, okay, I need to start thinking about what do I want to do? How do I want to go back into work? You know? And so that's been on my mind a lot about, I don't think I want to go back into nonprofit, but well, you know, what jobs are out there? What should I do next?
Or yeah, maybe you should invent something.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I think I could just invent something and then sell it for millions, right? Like that's how it works, right?
How hard can it be?
How hard can it be? So funny. But yeah, that's my glisten.
Wow.
Chew on that.
Meta dream. It's funny because we were just talking about Meta, the company.
Right. Yeah. They're going to take over the world. All right. So.
All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for helping me get unstuck.
Yeah. Me too. Thanks. I feel so unstuck right now. I feel like I can go out into the world unstuck. Just feeling unstuck.
Great.
How many times can I say the word unstuck? Unstuck. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Beckett's Babies. If you enjoyed what you heard or learned a thing or two about playwriting, be sure to like, subscribe, and share the podcast with your friends.
And if you'd like to reach out and share with us your thoughts on playwriting and theater, or maybe be a guest on the show, be sure to visit our website at www.beckettsbabies.com. That's www.beckettsbabies.com, and you can contact us there. Thanks for listening.